fallen responsibility to establish perfect example for others to follow in the life of perfection, which ultimately leads to becoming completely free from material bondage, going back to the spiritual world and re-establishing the lost relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once again, we all wish them, both Charuchandra and Dhameshwari, a very, very happy birthday. And many happy Krishna conscious returns of this day. Yes, Haribo. That actually brings back, anyway, since we started to speak on this topic, I would rather like to continue on that. It is very important to note that the parents have a very important responsibility to bring up their children in a perfect spiritual atmosphere. And that perfect spiritual atmosphere is created by being surrendered to Krishna. In that respect, we find there are many, many wonderful examples. One very relevant example is the Pandavas, and another, the antithesis to that example, are the Kauravas. The Kauravas, the sons of Dhritarashtra, they were brought up in absolute luxury and comfort, and they had everything. They were born in the royal family, they were brought up in that royal environment, and they had everything. But on the other hand, the Pandavas, they were actually brought up in quite acute hardship. The Pandavas, their mother became a widow when they were young, and although they were in the palace, in the royal palace in Hastinapur, but they became the object of intense envy of their cousins, and they tried to harm them in so many ways. They tried to kill Bhima when he was just a little boy. His cousins, Duryodhana and other Kauravas. And then, along with their mother, they tried to burn them alive. And then later on, they had been subjected to so many different types of trials and tribulations. But one thing we noticed, that Pandavas were always protected from their childhood. Why? Because their mother, Kunti, was always surrendered to Krishna. When the Pandavas were little boys, Kunti had implicit faith in Krishna. She knew that Krishna would always be there to protect them. Although she was the aunt of Krishna, she had a very close relationship, family relationship with Krishna. But she knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore she always depended upon Krishna. On the other hand, Dhritarashtra, although he was the king, and he also had a relationship with Krishna, family relationship with Krishna, but he did not really accept or did not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he did not depend upon Krishna. Rather, he was depending upon his own arrangements, his own prowess, his own political plots. Why? Because he was blind. He was not only externally blind, he was also internally blind. And his wife, Gandhari, although was the most illustrious woman of that time, she was extremely beautiful, her character was spotless, she was endowed with so many wonderful qualities, and she was perfectly situated on the path of virtue. But unfortunately, she just followed her husband. Unfortunately, she followed her blind husband. And in order to remain chaste to her husband, from the material point of view, from the material sense, she also accepted voluntary blindness. And that blindness also led her to the blindness towards her spiritual life. She, although close to Krishna, although she was aware of Krishna's position, but still she could not surrender to Krishna. And we can see, like, there are two sets of parents, or we can say two mothers. One mother, although materially very qualified, but because she did not surrender to Krishna the way she should have, what happened to her children? Her children became rogues, rascals, completely degraded and completely degraded and deceitful in their activities. On the other hand, Pandavas, although they have been through so many difficulties from their childhood, but because their mother was a devotee, we saw that they are the perfect example of virtue, nobility, righteousness, and promise. From this, the parents actually should take note of this important lesson. If you want to bring up your children in a proper way, become devotees of Krishna. And that devotion of Krishna will be transmitted to your children. And they'll also become devotees of Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, he achieves the ultimate perfection of his existence. But if you do not become a devotee of Krishna, no matter if the mother and father don't become devotees of Krishna, then no matter materially they may be so qualified, materially they may be so opulent, materially they may be so virtuous, materially they may be endowed with so many qualities, but everything will amount to a total failure, because their children will not be born, or their children will not grow up to be exemplary individuals in the society that will benefit the human society in the most inconceivable way. So the parents have a very important responsibility to bring up their children. This is another thing that today's world is actually becoming oblivious of, forgetful of. The parents don't think about this responsibility so deeply. They give birth to their children. In many cases, these children is just an accidental appearance. they don't take any responsibility towards their children. And you have seen the result of it. And how can the human society prosper? How the human society can become peaceful? How the human society can be happy if the members of the society are not exemplary in their character? Srila Prabhupada came to create the perfect human society on this planet at a very, very degraded period, the age of Kali. In this age, most of the people are very, very sinful, very fallen. And the result is suffering. Externally, there may be so much glamour, but internally, everything is empty. Internally, everything is miserable. And that is what illusion is. From the appearance, it seems that it's so wonderful. The example of illusion is a mirage. Apparently, it appears that there is water. But when you go there, is it water? What do you find? The burning hot sand. Now, can you quench your thirst with that? No, never. So that is what illusion is. Apparently, it appears to be so wonderful, so glorious, so promising, so alluring. But actually, it is not there. What you are looking for is not there. Just a little while ago, I was talking to some of the youth here, and I was making that point that, I mean, the illusory influence of the material nature, we can see, like today, we go and see so many beautiful houses. It looks so attractive. Gorgeous houses, beautiful houses. But when you go inside, what do we find? We find broken homes. Externally, it appears to be so glamorous, so beautiful. But when you're inside, what do you find? Broken homes. Especially in America, I don't know about in UK, but in America we see so many houses are for sale. They are in auction. You know why? Because the husband and wife split, and the beautiful house that they built, and now it's an auction for sale, and they're just fighting to get to establish their share of the property before they split, before they separate, or when they separate. So that is what this material nature is like, today's world especially. Why? Because it's illusory. And what is the example of illusion? What is illusion? The illusion is that is without Krishna, that's illusion. On the other hand, when something is in relation to Krishna, that is reality. Not only reality, that is absolute reality. So bring Krishna in your life will become real. And real life means eternity, knowledge and bliss. That real life, when your life is connected to Krishna, then that life will become eternal. It will become full of knowledge, full of joy. And if it is devoid of Krishna, then it is temporary, in ignorance and miserable. Externally, it may appear to be so alluring, but in reality, it is empty. It is a source of suffering and misery. So we must aspire for reality. We must aspire for absolute reality. And the process of reaching that absolute reality is so simple. We simply have to bring Krishna in the center. And that's the difference, that's the distance between material and spiritual. The material world and spiritual world, what is the distance between those two worlds? Millions of miles, billions of eons? No, just a very thin difference. You bring Krishna in the center of your life, you bring Krishna in your life, that is spiritual. And if Krishna is missing in your life, if Krishna is missing in your activities, then that is illusory. That is material. So that is the ultimate consideration. So, and how do we bring Krishna in our lives? The way to bring Krishna in our lives is also very simple. In this age, in this particular age of Kali, Krishna appeared as his holy name. And if we just chant this holy name, Krishna will be there in our lives. And all that we do will become spiritualized. It's so simple. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As simple as that. Simply have to chant the holy name of the Lord and Krishna will become the center of our lives. Whether we realize that, whether we perceive that, whether we understand that, is not really important. We may not even recognize how Krishna becoming the center of our lives if we chant the holy name. But if we look at it from Krishna's perspective, then what do we see? Krishna is watching us. Krishna is watching every one of us at every moment. And when Krishna sees that we are chanting his holy name, Krishna thinks, oh, these are good people. These are good individuals. I told them to chant and they accepted my instruction and they are chanting. And when Krishna is pleased, everything will be achieved. For example, you ask somebody to do something and when you see that he is doing that, how do you feel? Consider your child, those who are parents. You told your child, now you go and study. And now you go and chant. And when you see that the child is doing that, how do you feel? You automatically become pleased. Now, whether the child likes to do that or not, but because you ask him to do it, he's doing it, that pleases you. Similarly, when Krishna sees that we are chanting, he thinks, well, I told them to chant and they're chanting. And Krishna feels, okay, they're my dear ones. I'll go out of my way to take care. They are my good children. And that is how Krishna reciprocates. So this process is as simple as that. Just chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sometimes devotees ask, well, I'm not chanting attentively, my mind is drifting. And maybe I'm committing offenses and so forth. My answer to it, don't worry, just keep chanting. Just keep chanting because Krishna will be pleased with you. In which way you're chanting, because you're chanting, Krishna will be pleased. Krishna is not a taskmaster. Krishna is not saying, oh, you are not doing it right. Therefore, I won't give you the result. I won't recognize. Rather, Krishna is a lover. Krishna is not a taskmaster. Krishna is a lover. And what is Krishna's position, Krishna's situation like? I'll give you a mundane example. There is a young boy who is in love with a young girl. But the girl doesn't care about. How does the boy feel? Doesn't he feel miserable? He loves her, but she doesn't respond. Then one day, the boy receives a letter. Very simple sentence declaring that girl is saying how much she loves him. How will the boy feel? Won't he become ecstatic? Now Krishna is that boy who is in love, and we are those girls. He is in love with us, but we are not responding to his love. And he is waiting, when are you going to love him? And someday when you tell Krishna, Krishna, I love you, and Krishna starts to dance in ecstasy. And how do you say to, how do you tell Krishna, Krishna, I love you? The way to say that I love you is Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Although we may not imagine how Krishna feels, but Krishna feels ecstatic. Krishna starts to dance with joy. That this spirit souls, these individuals, finally they responded to my love. And let's consider how much Krishna loves us. When somebody loves somebody, what does that person do for the person he loves? He takes care of that person in all respects. Wants to do everything for him. Now let us consider in our life, whatever we need, who is supplying those needs? We need food to eat. Who is supplying all the food? Who is supplying all this food? Krishna. Why? Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, why should he care for us? Now, even more important than food is water. And look what wonderful arrangement Krishna made for the supply of water. There is water, plenty of water in the ocean, but that water we cannot drink. That water is useless for any use. It doesn't have any utility. That water is full of salt. But Krishna makes it to evaporate with the rays of the sun, with the heat of the sun. Then it becomes cloud. And by wind, it is transported to different parts of this world. And then it condenses and comes down in the form of distilled water, rainwater. Who made this arrangement? Why?
He loves us.
Because he loves us. Now, even more important than water is oxygen for us. We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. Now, if this process continued, what would have happened? The whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. But did it happen? Although since time immemorial we are breathing oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide, still there is no dearth of oxygen in the atmosphere. Why? Because the trees and plants are taking up carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Now, who made this arrangement? Why? Because he loves us. So can anybody ever doubt that Krishna loves us? Now what are we supposed to do? To respond to that love. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. It is due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we got to know Krishna, we got to know about our relationship with Krishna, we got to know how Krishna loves us, and we also learned how to respond to his love. And this is the simple way to perfect our existence. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande. Yeah, sure.
Maharaj, you said that you must keep Krishna in center. In that case, if parents has to do some service in the temple, then what we must focus on, to do the service in the temple or to take care of the child or to excuse that, you know, we have a children, we can't do the service. So what is more important?
Yeah. Well, in that respect, actually, Prabhupada said that the mother's responsibility is to take care of the children first. Not the service to the temple shouldn't be at the cost of taking care of the children. The children should not be taken care of. And anyway, I mean, in ISKCON we have actually seen what major blunders were caused due to mothers taken away from the children and engaged in so-called service. That service did not enhance the propagation of our movement, rather that caused a lot of damage to our movement. And the children, they became averse to Krishna consciousness and left. Consider what a loss it is. On the other hand, if the parents take care of the children nicely, the children grow up with proper Krishna consciousness, they become such an asset to the society. So, anyway, I mean, this is Prabhupada's statement, actually. Mother's first responsibility to the children. That's what should be mother. Any other question? Yes.
Prabhu, you said that Krishna is not different to the holy name.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have this imagery that Krishna himself, when he came on earth 5,000 years ago, was so spectacular, you know, people were so mesmerized, lifted over them here. And then I sometimes find that the holy name, is it as mesmerizing as the same Krishna that came on planet earth 5,000 years ago?
You see, in the material nature, Krishna appears through some material element in order to be visible or in order to be perceivable to our senses. Right? Like, for example, Krishna appears in the form of the deities. Like, apparently, it is made of, the deities are matter, solid matter. Right? But these deities are not actually, you know, stone or clay, although apparently they're carved out of them, but they are not clay or stone. They are Krishna. But Krishna appeared in that way so that we can see him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to see him. So similarly, in this age, Krishna appears through the sound vibration. Although it's a sound vibration, but it's non-different from Krishna. And through the sound vibration, he became available to us. And when we are able to purify our senses and chant, that pure chanting will make us perceive that Krishna is there. And when Krishna is there, all his associates are there. All his pastimes are there. So the holy name will become manifest in the form of Krishna himself. When our senses become purified, then we'll be able to perceive. And then, yes, we will see Krishna is performing all these wonderful activities. He is lifting Govardhan Hill, he is killing the demons, he is dancing with the gopis, and all that will be visible. it's in a way you can say, just to give an example to clarify the point, that just as from the seed the tree becomes manifest, from the sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration, the holy name, Krishna will become manifest. And Krishna's form will become manifest from his name. Krishna's qualities will become manifest. Krishna's associates will become manifest. Krishna's abode will become manifest. Krishna's activity will become manifest. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottara Shato Shri Srimad Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaur Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Shamaveto Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta
His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj
Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
All glories to the assembled devotees Lord Premanande
Maharaj, thank you so much for giving us your time today. Thank you for coming to bless Charachandra, Dharmeshwari, the community of devotees here and the families of all the devotees that have gathered today to celebrate the first birthday. I know you have a busy schedule for tomorrow at Bhaktivedanta Manor, so we're not going to delay you, but on behalf of all the devotees, we are always moved and touched at the attention and time that you offer to the devotees here in Leicester, and we hope that we can continue to grow in this relationship with you, and for you to continue to guide us more and more, and for ISKCON Leicester to flourish under that guidance. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj Ki Jai.
And I can see that under your able guidance, our Leicester. Pradumna Prabhu Ki
Jai!
All glories to the assembly.
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Hare
Krishna!
Hare Krishna. I'm so happy to meet you. You're such a wonderful person. I told you about 8 years and above.
We're just waiting there somewhere, Marge.